Hello and welcome back to another episode of Sheer Motivation Podcast. Look at me getting all consistent. Woo, I've been giving y'all weeks after week. Okay, we on what, like 11, week 11, 12? I don't know what week this is, but I am getting consistent. Look at me. Okay, so this week, I guess I'll just title this Question Roulette because I have been asking some of the viewers and people that I know that have been supporting me, they have, I have been asking you guys to send me a few questions. Some of them can be questions that came to mind after you watched the episode or just random. And so I did get some random questions from a few of my friends, a couple of the viewers. Most of the people said they wanted to stay anonymous. So I just decided to just do most of them just anonymous. Okay, so we'll just do it like that. But they're just random questions. So I'm just going to start. I wrote them all down because you know I'm old. I've gotten them through my DMs, my text messages. So I said, let me just write them down so I don't forget. But if I forget your question, just send it to me and I'll do it maybe on a future episode. So with that being said, let's just jump right into it. Okay, now go ahead and hit that like button. Don't forget. All right. So the first question is, how do you stay motivated when it feels like nothing in your life is going right? Whew. Well, I mean, I guess everybody can relate to this one. I think for me, now I'm going to do my best to answer these because, I mean, again, I ain't the relationship expert. I ain't the life coach. I am none of that. I'm just a regular girl, a regular mom trying to do better, make better choices, and buckle down reading my Bible and trying to actually apply it. So I'm going to answer these questions the best I can. So I think when we get into a place, I can speak for myself, when I've gotten into a place where it feels like nothing is going right, and every time I turn around, it's something. To me, in my mind, what I tell myself is, okay, God's trying to get my attention. That's what I tell myself. So I will take a minute to just put myself on silent. You know what I'm saying? I'll challenge myself to be a little less reactive and a little more proactive. So I'll start looking at situations, be like, okay, what role am I playing? Is there something I can do different? So I first start with me because everywhere I go, there I am, right? And then I pray. I pray a little bit more than I typically pray. I told you I've been doing the thing where before I get up in the morning, before my feet ever touch the ground, I thank God for waking me up. And I'm like, okay, how can I make you smile at me today? What can I do better that I didn't? How can I be better than I was yesterday? But when it feels like nothing is going right, like I said, I first try to start with myself and ask myself, is there anything I can change? Is there anything I can do different? And then I kind of recenter on my goals or what those things in the back of my mind that I've been saying I need to do, I need to get serious about. Like lately, I've been trying to change my diet. I don't know if my face is giving skinny or not, but I'm going to think skinny and hope that it translates or this care because I ain't like, you know, the roundness that I've been given in some of the previous episodes. But like, for example, I just try to recenter with things that are in my control. Am I taking care of myself? Am I drinking enough water? Am I taking my vitamins? You know, small things that kind of make me feel like, all right, I got this. You know, I got a handle on some of this stuff. And then it takes the pressure off of everything that's not going right. And then I just tackle one thing at a time. Whatever those things are that feel like they're crumbling, sometimes they're crumbling for a reason. So I just kind of recenter and then tackle one thing at a time, you know, and try to do something different. But yeah, I just think that's life's way of getting your attention and trying to get you to refocus. So to answer that, I shift my focus and start asking myself, what are some things I can do differently? Really focusing on things that I can change, that I have control over, and praying more. So that would be what I do. All right, the next question is, what helped you get through your hardest heartbreak without losing yourself? Now, who asked this? I mean, again, you know, I'm not the relationship podcast, so I mean, some stuff might come up, but you know, what helped me get through my hardest heartbreak? You know what I'm saying? You know, I think my hardest heartbreak, like, I think I've had two really tough heartbreaks. One would be, if I'm honest, the day my mom passed away. So for you guys that don't know, I lost my mom when I was 18, complications of breast cancer. And that was the hardest heartbreak. Like, I think anytime you lose somebody, it's hard, right? But the one person that you lose that brought you in this world, that's raised you, to send you through all your, to lose that person is like the hardest heartbreak that I think I have ever experienced to date. And to be honest, I did lose myself. I was 18. I didn't know nothing about nothing. It was just the most depressing time. I think I stopped eating. At that time, I found out I was pregnant with my oldest child, my daughter. And I think for me, I continued to lose weight up until I was like 5 months pregnant. And I think the doctor, I would forget to eat. It was a hard, hard time. And I think what started to pull me out of it was the fact that I was pregnant with my daughter. And I knew that it was selfish to not take care of myself when I needed to be here for her. She was growing inside me, and it would be selfish to not take care of myself. So it gave me, I guess, something else to live for, in a sense, you know. And I mean, because when my mom died, I felt like the world was over. And I really feel like had I not been pregnant with my daughter, I probably would not be sitting here, because I wanted to die with my mom. Like, I was just devastated. My whole world was crashing down. Like, it just was a very difficult time. And then the second heartbreak would be when I went through my divorce. Now, again, I think, you know, some people say heartbreak, you know, it is. It's the end of one life as you know it, but it's the beginning of another life that you get to embrace. And when your world is crashing down like that, it's just the prelude for everything to eventually come back together. And you get to decide, because you're the writer, the actor, the director of your life. So you get to decide how sturdy you're going to be when those pieces come back together. But those were the two heartbreaks, the two most toughest heartbreaks. And like I said, I did lose myself. But the fun was adapting to my new phase in life. You know, when I lost my mom, I lost myself. But then when I started gaining myself back, I was a mom, you know, and I got to see and pour into this little human being that counted on me and depended on me. And so I think God knows what he's doing. I think I got pregnant with her at the right time, because I really was, that was just a tough one. And then I think the best way to not lose yourself during a heartbreak is just to find things that, even if it's for an hour a day, that you can escape. If it's painting, if it's drawing, if it's riding a bike, if it's working out, you know, whatever that thing is, it's like, all right, whenever I get sad, I'm about to eat a piece of fruit. I'm going to do something healthy for my body. Whenever my insides is feeling bad, I'm going to challenge myself to go take my vitamins, drink me a bottle of water, go take a walk around the block. Just try to tap into something that's going to make you feel a sense of normalcy. All right, the next one. How do you co-parent when communication feels impossible and the other parent is being difficult? Again, this is not the relationship podcast. But, you know, I see y'all keep pushing me toward relationship stuff. Y'all can't be asking me, like, you see, mine is all messed up. No. Okay. You know, when it comes to co-parenting, again, everybody has their own co-parenting recipe. I feel like if it's working for you, let it work for you, right? But if it's not working for you, I think the best thing to do is to make it about the kids. Make it about the kids and always keep in the back of your mind, those children grow up. And you don't ever want to be on the other end of a question when your kids get older, where your answer could make them resent you. So always try to operate in the best light of what's best for your children. And then just imagine them when they hit 16, 17, 18, 19, they start asking them tough questions, you know, and just challenge yourself to say, am I handling this in a way that I'm going to be proud of when they get older and ask me why? Or are they going to be upset with me and resent me? I think if you move like that and you move in love and have the ability to separate, okay, our relationship didn't work out, but these kids don't have nothing to do with that. So we need to do what's best for the kids. If you can think in that mindset, I think you can get through it. All right, next question. What do you do when you feel stuck in life and nothing is moving forward? How do I get unstuck? When I feel stuck, I usually listen to some motivational, motivational biographies and documentaries. I try to, again, I've been doing this thing where I've been reading my Bible a little bit more. Now, I ain't going to tell you that I'm an A1, you know, perfect Christian, because I'm not. But I've been reading more, really trying to apply. So when I feel stuck, I be like, all right, what am I supposed to be doing? Because I don't want to get past this and look back and like miss my bing. You know, I don't want to miss my moment. So I'm always asking myself, if I'm stuck right here, what else can I switch my focus to? How can I broaden my attention? You know, how can I try something new? You know, I'm always trying to challenge myself to try something. This podcast was new. I had no idea. I mean, I like to talk, but it's a whole different kind of thing when you see yourself on camera, you hear your voice. I was like, oh my God, is that how I sound? But I said, no, I'm going to challenge myself to do it. I started, I'm going to stick with it. Okay. So yeah, I just try to do just different stuff, new stuff, jump out there, watch a motivational movie, connect with different groups or find something that I can do that's going to make me feel happy. You know, when I get stuck, that's what I do. All right, so this says, next one, how do you deal with friends who no longer support your growth or can't relate to your journey? You know, that word friend is a very complex word. Everybody has a different definition of friend. I think good friendships start with good communication, right? And it's that check-in. It's like, you know, meeting them where they are. How can I support you in this moment? You know, being transparent, you know. And so if you find that your friends aren't really supportive of this growth or new direction, if you like the club and party and smoke weed, and all of a sudden you turn over a new leaf in life, and it's like they ain't really supportive. I think first off, you owe it a conversation, right? And I think good friendships that are meant to be, you come together in those moments, you iron it out, you guys talk about it until you have a good understanding. How can I do to support you? If you don't smoke anymore and I like to smoke, does it bother you if I do it around you? Is that a trigger for you? You know, just trying to ask those questions to know, to show that you care. So I just think good friendships start with good communication, and you have to make them aware of what support looks like for you in your journey, because support looks different for everybody. You know, they could love being your friend, love supporting you, but maybe they're just unsure of how to do that. You know, maybe you have friendships and maybe you're the first one becoming a mom and the other ones are kind of like falling back because it's like, oh, we can't really invite her because she got the baby. But it's like, well, talk to your friend, see how you can show up and support her, because maybe she still want to come out and enjoy herself. She's a mom, but that's one part of her life, you know. And so, yeah, I just think really talking and finding out what support looks like for them is a great start. Okay, next question. Is it wrong to put yourself first when you're used to showing up for others? No. Next question. No, it's not. Sometimes you have to put yourself first. Sometimes, you know, you have to say, I'm always that person going to everybody's birthday, baby shower, graduation. Like, this time I'm going to do something for me. I'm going to put myself first. I'm going to tell my friends that, hey, I need you to show up and support me in this way. And I need to make sure my needs are met. So no, I don't think it's wrong at all. All right. One moment in life where you wanted to quit but didn't. What kept you going? I think I kind of touched on that in the other question. I think, like I said, when my mom passed, I definitely wanted to give up on life. I definitely didn't. It was a very depressing time. And, you know, I'm not going to say I consider self-harming, but I'm going to say I definitely thought about life and how great it would be if I weren't here. And, you know, I thought about, man, I would just like to just die. I mean, that was my thought. You know, I didn't want to be here. My mom had died. I really didn't have a lot of support. And so I was just so lost. I was so hurt. I went through the stages of her death. Like, it's funny because I was sad, but initially I was mad. I was angry with my mom for dying. I was mad at her. I was mad. Then I was sad. Then I was depressed. Then I was angry again, you know. And I didn't consider, like I said, self-harming in the way that I had a plan. Like, I wasn't like, yeah, I think I'm gonna slip my wrist, or I think I'm gonna take a bottle of pills and just end this. But I was like, man, it would be great to just not be alive and feel this type of pain anymore, you know. And then I think, like I said, what kept me going was the fact that I was pregnant with my daughter. And I think I told her dad at the time, I was like, I just don't want to be here, you know. And I remember getting emotional. And he said, well, how selfish would that be if you did something to take you away from all of us? Like, we need you here. That baby needs you here. And so, you know, you can't think like that. But I think that's what got me through it. I'm not telling y'all to go get pregnant if you're going through a difficult time. I'm just saying at that moment, that's the way my life took course. And I think that had I not been pregnant, I probably would have been reckless with my safety. I probably would have been reckless with my life in general. And, you know, I may not be here today. All right. We are almost done. Okay, it says, how do you co-parent without letting the other letting your personal feelings get in the way of what's best for your child? I think I kind of touched on this too. I think when it comes to co-parenting, the best rule of thumb is to really ask yourself, what's best for my child? What's best for my child? And can I stand the test of time? When this child gets older and they say, why did you keep me away from my dad? Or, you know, why did you pack up my stuff and take me away from my mom? Or why were you arguing with my mom? Why did you push my mom? Why did you hit my mom? Can you live with the decisions and those type of conversations? I think the best thing and the best way to co-parent is to make it about what's best for the child, or you end up in somebody's courthouse where they'll tell you what's best for your child. You pick. You want to do what's best for your child, or you want to let that white man in that black robe tell you what's best for your child? Figure it out. All right. What are some spiritual practices or shifts that have helped you grow closer to your purpose and identify in God and also as a woman? Oh, that's a good question. I wonder who sent it. You know, I'm gonna touch on this. My spiritual journey has been up, has been down, and we'll get more into that. If there's a next season, we definitely will get more into that. When I lost my mom at 18, I was angry at the world. I was angry at her for dying, and I was angry at God. I was so angry, and I grew up in church. But that day when my mom passed, I felt like God had betrayed me, because in my mind, he let that happen to me. How dare you take my mom from me? And what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to read these pages in this Bible, and it's supposed to suddenly make everything better, when down here on earth, I'm dying, I am hurt, I am sad, I'm frustrated, I'm mad, I am hurt. Why would you take? And so I felt so angry. So there was a period of time where I wouldn't read my Bible. I didn't go to church at all, you know, and I was so angry. I'm so glad that God didn't answer my thoughts and prayers back then, right? And so as I gotten older and I look back and I went through some things, but I began to see my life in a different light. And I was like, oh my God, he never left me. Because when I look back, I could see some times where had I just leaned a little bit more to the left or a little bit more to the right, I could have been sifted out of this life like a piece of grass. And I started to look at it differently. I started to be more thankful, more grateful of his mercy. You know, because even though I felt so wronged and oh my God, like in my mind, I was like the only person in the world it was happening to. I realized that things could have been way worse, and they weren't. And they weren't because his hand was on my life. And so I began to just look at things differently. So some practices are, I definitely read my Bible more often. I'm not going to tell you a lie that I read it every day, because I don't read my Bible every day. I'm trying to get there. Maybe by season 4, I'm going to be there, but I'll keep you posted. But I read my Bible, and I'm reading for how can I actually apply this to my life? You know, when I read in the Bible, when it says that someone has an art with you, you know, go to that person and try to make it right. I've been practicing that. And there was a time I'd be like, nope, 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 nope. You know, they made me mad. I'm not saying that, you know, but I want to do my part to say, because I understand I'm going to have to give an account for my life. So I want to be able to say we had that disagreement, but this is what I did my part to try to make it right. You know, and so that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to read my Bible more. I'm trying to apply it. I'm trying to be mindful of how I treat people, how I talk to people, all of the things, you know, all of the things. So, and the last question, we made it to the last one. All right. When a relationship starts feeling more draining than fulfilling, how do you know if it's a rough patch or if it's time to let it go? Let it go. Let it go. This is not the relationship. Y'all keep pushing me into the relationship. Okay. Well, I think relationships will hit their dips and valleys when things start to feel draining. I mean, it's normal. I think how you know if it's just a rough patch or if it's time to let it go is, first of all, you have to ask yourself, have I communicated everything that I need and everything that I want? Have we tried to come up with compromises? Have we tried to iron it out? Have I made my expectations clear? Am I clear of his or her expectations, right? What things have I done to try to fix it? You know, and anything that you can think of that's on your list, you have to try to fix it, right? I think the way you know the difference between a rough patch and if it's just time to let it go is if you don't see any progression. If we keep having the same conversations about the same obstacles and I don't see any progression, the communication is not where it's supposed to be, I think that's the difference between a rough patch and letting it go, because you're going to hit rough patches in relationships. It's on you both to get in the ring and fight. Talk about it. Come up with solutions. This is what I think would be a good solution. What do you think? And then we come up with a plan and then we execute it. And if that doesn't work, me and you and your teammate go back to the drawing board and be like, all right, this is what we said we was going to do. This is what we wanted to do. We tried that. That ain't work. All right, boom, we're going to try this. You know, I think when you stop feeling like you have a teammate, and you stop feeling like it's progression, I think that may be when you're at the crossroad of, okay, rough patch and let it go. And only you can decide when it's time to let it go. Let it go. Only you can decide when it's time to let it go. But every relationship, you know, it's worth fighting for. If you, especially if you've been with the person for a while, it's worth fighting for. So, but yeah, that's a decision you have to make as far as you want to let it go or not, you know. But yes, that is the end of our questions. So I thank all my listeners and my friends that text me or DM'd me or called me. We had 10 good questions, so I appreciate that. This season has been fun. It's been different. I stepped outside of my comfort zone. I've done a couple episodes by myself. Who would have thunk it? Okay. And so this is definitely breaking me out of the box, because I'm actually a shy person. But I wanted to do this to break out of my comfort zone. So I'm proud of myself. Thank you so much for watching this season of Sheer Motivation Podcast. I appreciate all the likes, all the comments, all the follows, the text messages like, hey, girl, I like that. Okay, I like that. I see you. You know, I appreciate it so much. And hit that like button, subscribe, and we will see you next time for season 4. Okay.